The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show, sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. If we must. Nothing to see here. Checking in at
number five.
Free to do what I want. Any
Richard Roper has joined us in the studio. Rob Blagojevich is a free man. 14-year sentence commuted by the president yesterday. Walked out of the federal penitentiary in Aurora, Colorado last night. Got in a car, got to Denver International Airport, about 20 minutes away. Was then mobbed by reporters. Who were at the airport while he was getting his ticket at the line. You had to go up there where you don't have your ticket on your phone because you don't have a phone. So you got a ticket on a card, and you got to go.
Yeah.
And he's up there, and there's Julie Unruh from Channel 9, and Chuck Gowdy from Channel 7 is going to join us in a little bit. And then he gets on the airplane, and who sits next to him but Chuck Gowdy?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to. I've known Chuck for a long time,
yeah.
And we're friends. I don't want to sit next to him on a plane. He's constantly asking too many questions. Imagine.
The I team always gets seats with I on them. You're in 27I or 7I. It's one of the things they love to do. Yeah, it was like, it reminded me of that scene. Remember in Castaway when Tom Hanks was on that island for like 4 years?
Yep, yeah.
And then they finally put him on the plane and they had to explain to him a lot has changed. Right. We had a funeral for you. You had a funeral for him?
Yes, right.
Helen Hunt moved on.
Yeah, Houston Oilers moved to Tennessee. Huh. All right. Anyway, here's the. You know, let's talk a little bit about who praised whom. So he was in front of his home today, and he went out and he praised the president, thanking him for everything.
We want to express our most profound and everlasting gratitude to President Trump. How do you properly thank someone who's given you back the freedom that was stolen from you? He didn't have to do this. He's a Republican president. I was a Democratic governor. And doing this does nothing to help his politics. President Trump is a man who is tough and outspoken, but he also has a kind heart. This is an act of kindness, and I also believe it's the beginning of the process to actually turn an injustice into a justice.
Yeah. It does help his politics. It's exactly in line with his politics because it's a continuation of the narrative that Rob Blagojevich becomes another victim of James Comey, who wasn't even in the Justice Department during any of this Blagojevich stuff. And Robert Mueller, who was the head of the FBI then, who did the Mueller report. And it plays into the cast of characters that he's looking for. But
100%.
So now, one of the reasons that the judge here, James Agle, handed down such a harsh 14-year prison sentence was because Blagojevich's predecessor, George Ryan, was already in jail for public corruption. And the governor's mansion, you know, had become a place where if you weren't doing the right thing, you got to do the right thing because everybody else is doing the wrong thing. Got to do the right thing. So
that's what Rod ran on. He was going to drain the prairie.
Yes.
Right?
Something like that. And George Ryan, very interesting. He spoke to Channel 9, WGN-TV this morning about his reaction to all this.
Well, I think it's probably the fair thing to do. I thought his sentence was way out of line in 14 years. But I'm not so much glad for him as I am his kids. I don't know what another 5 or 6 years would make any kind of a difference in what he's going to do or what he isn't going to do. And so it relieves the taxpayers of taking care of him for another 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, I don't think that's the point. But okay, fine. Well, that's his reaction. Now, here's Mayor Lightfoot, and she says that... 100% comfortable with the attitude of the governor today.
The difference between most of them and Rod Blagojevich is that they accept responsibility for the crimes that they have committed. They are willing to do what's necessary to make amends for the harm that they caused. You know, some people say, well, don't you have sympathy for his family? I have sympathy for every family, mine included, where you have a loved one who's incarcerated. It does terrible things to the members of the family that are outside. But what I would expect, and we have not seen, is 1 ounce of contrition from this man who held the highest office in our state and used it in a way that is shameful, and that as a consequence of his prosecution and conviction by a jury of his peers, still has no capacity for acceptance of responsibility.
She said it better than I said it, but that's, I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. Let's check in with Lauren Lapka, and then we'll get to the 4-3-2-1.
For News at 10, watch WGN, Mike Matera, Joe Donlan, Dan Rohn, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN. Did you like the dramatic ending?
I thought that was that was absolutely incredible, Kevin
Thanks,
Powell.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It sounded like one of those like the Super Bowl announcers. Ladies and gentlemen.
She's doing a very nice job over there.
Good job.
These young kids.
Professionals. The two of them are professionals, Kevin and Lauren.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue on to the top five of five. Here we go.
Number four.
Chicago Police Superintendent, Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck, and Alderman Matt O'Shea joined Bob Surratt this morning to talk about a variety of things. But one issue that has been grabbing a lot of headlines is the rising crime on the CTA. Here's what Charlie Beck said needs to be done to stop this surge.
You know, right now we're making sure that that not only the officers assigned to CTA are all in uniform, they're all present, they're all riding the train, and then we're making sure that the district officers, the officers assigned to the neighborhoods in Chicago, spend time on the platform. And by spending time on the platform, you know, they keep order, they make sure that the right people are on the train and the wrong people aren't. We just had a gun recovered off the platform last night. You know, I think that presence is key. So we're going to increase the presence, and then we have some technology things we're going to put in place, and we'll talk about that later this week.
Okay. All right. Okay. Another thing they need to do is when they arrest a guy, keep him in jail.
Keep him in jail.
Yeah. I really like the idea of that. And I did notice, as we were speaking to the sheriff of the County of Cook, Tom Dart, an hour ago, that he agrees with me on that. And he's responsible for them. That's his job. And he's like, yes, we should be keeping. Because there's a guy, I got to mention this one more time. This is just absolutely crazy. A guy, a year and a half ago, shot a police officer in the back. He was saved solely by his bulletproof vest. The guy who shot him, who has been charged with attempted murder of a police officer and all kinds of other aggravating counts with weapons and all the rest of stuff, has been sent home on home monitoring. Now, how in the hell does that happen?
That's insane.
He got, because he was able to post, he was able to come up with his family, somebody came up with $5,000 to pop him out and to get him home monitoring.
Yeah, a couple of zeros missing from that.
Yeah.
$5,000. That's insane.
Yeah, that is absolutely insane. All right, continuing on.
Number three.
Grandpa Rossi. You know, he's the Cubs general manager, or the Cubs field manager now. I keep forgetting that happened. I hear his name pop up, I think, well, what's he doing now?
Why is Joe Madden always in California now? What's he doing? Shouldn't he be?
He was a spring trainer. He says, although his friends with a lot of players who were his former teammates, he feels very confident that he's going to be able to draw a line needed to be their boss now. He's the manager. Don't forget that. He's also not worried about Chris Bryant, who seems to there seems to be some little bit of tension between the Cubs organization and their third baseman.
Oh, I've had conversations with Chris. You know, I think Chris is in a position that, you know, he's standing up for his rights. He has the right to do that. I think that's a positive thing for him and the industry. I was a player once as well. And when a guy like Chris Bryant stands up and fights for the rights that they believe in as a player, I think that's a powerful thing. You know, he's talked to Theo. He doesn't hold any grudges. You know, it's just part of it. And he understands the business side. If anybody understands it, it's Chris and all he's been through in his career. So he's a powerful young man. I've seen him deal with a lot of adversity coming up as this superstar, dealing with that early on, winning Rookie of the Year, winning MVP, dealing with some injuries, expectations. This guy's risen to the occasion every time. I don't have to worry about Chris Bryant when it comes to dealing with outside stuff.
That's a great answer, by the way. I got to say, you know what?
A good answer.
Grandpa Rossi, good for you. This is probably the first of the tough questions he's going to get. Mm-hmm. And he explained it perfectly. And I like when he goes, I used to be a player. Yeah, we remember, an hour ago.
And I was on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I mean, we got you.
Listen, I just want to see the puzzle all fall into place for a couple of years from now. Chris Bryant is a White Sox because he's not appreciated by his family on the North Side.
Very interesting.
He's like that great boyfriend that the girlfriend always just abuses anyway, and just mistreats and cheats on. No matter what he does, he can't please them.
What are you going to tell Yoan Moncada, though?
Well, Chris Bryant can play all nine positions plus DH.
Okay. All right. Look at me defending the White Sox. All right, checking in at, yes, indeed, at, don't tell me.
Number two.
Justin Bieber joined James Corden for his first appearance in 4 years on the Late Late Show. Carpool karaoke. Oh. The two debated who would win a fight between the Biebs and Tom Cruise.
You wouldn't want to. No. I'm dangerous.
Yes.
My agility is crazy. My agility is insane.
He literally does movies called Mission Impossible. The mission is impossible, and he makes it possible.
He's an actor.
He jumps out of planes and stuff,
dude. I don't think you understand the mind control that I have. My mind control is another specimen. God. I'm different.
Listen.
I'm the Conor McGregor of entertainment. This is the fact.
Oh, that is almost too accurate in so many ways. You don't really want to be.
Yeah. You know? Conor McGregor, not exactly the example you want to set for anything.
They have tail of the tape about the same number of incidents, controversies, arrests, you know, it's caught on tape, bad behavior, about the same.
You know, now Bieber, a couple weeks ago, he was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And he was sporting a porn stash.
Oh.
Looks like he crawled out of a garbage these days.
Oh.
Like, I don't know what it is. He just all of a sudden is like, I don't care about anything.
Well, you know, you get married. You stop, you know, hey, listen, when you catch the bus, you stop running, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that what he did?
Well, yeah.
Right?
But then there's a stop you have to get off on because you stop trying. He's a good athlete, though, but Tom Cruise would crush him. Even though Tom Cruise has got 25 years on him, I think. He'd crush him.
I don't know. I think he's wiry. Why are we having this conversation? I
mean, didn't he challenge him on Twitter months ago?
Exactly.
Remember that?
I mean, Tom Cruise, they literally had to shut down production of one of those movies because he broke his ankle jumping from a building to building. Justin Bieber peed in a janitor's bucket. That's his big stunt work, okay? I'm just saying.
Lauren, who wins that?
Probably Tom Cruise.
Probably Tom Cruise. Okay.
Taylor Swift versus Bieber. Who wins?
Probably Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I think so, too.
All right. Okay. And finally.
Number one.
Back to Rod Blagojevich. This morning, he stood in front of his home. That home we've gotten to know so well, right? Because I'd forgotten about it. It's got the two like ramps that go up to the front door.
Yeah.
Right,
nice,
on either
nice
side.
Platform for to greet the media.
And I remember, was it on one of the newscasts last night, somebody said, Rod Blagojevich's mansion on the northwest side of the city.
Okay.
It's a corner house. It's nice. It's real nice. That's it. But it's not.
He's not Ed Burke, for crying out loud.
Exactly. I mean, if he had actually sold the Senate seat, he could have bought a mansion, but he didn't get it. It didn't work it out. But he said that he was not doing this, didn't do the public life for the money.
I got into politics to help people. I didn't get into politics to make money. I didn't get into politics to enrich my family or my friends. I got into politics because I was fortunate to live in the greatest country that's ever existed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Rokan Show Mighty Art Players have put together a little montage of some of the things that Rod Blagojevich said in 2008 and early 2009. No, 2008. It was actually November 2008. On the phone, discussing, the Senate seat.
Yeah, we got the message. Grateful and appreciative, huh? I think a 501c4. Can we get his friend Warren Buffett or some of those guys to help us on something like that?
What, for you?
Yeah. Do they think that I would just appoint Valerie Jarrett for nothing? Just to make him happy?
Hey, senators make $169,300.
So more than what I make. 169, huh?
Yeah, 169.3.
But, you know, what about Patty on some, you know, corporate boards? Paid corporate boards right now. Can they help us that way? Treehouse Foods, the one that, what's her name, was on for $65,000. Now, can we get Patty a couple of those? But if they feel like they can do this and not give me anything, under just some vague assurances or something, then I'll go Jesse Jr. I mean, the arrogance of these people. Yeah, and what have I got in the poll? Oh, the people are going to be mad and the newspapers follow you.
It must be remembered here that the whole Senate seat piece was the tipping point which resulted in the immediate arrest of Rod Blagojevich. It wasn't the centerpiece of the criminal case against him. The feds had already amassed tapes of him discussing ways in which he was going to suppress the payment of Medicaid payments to Children's Memorial Hospital, of ways that he was also going to defraud and defraud the people of the state of Illinois. And so this was the end point. And the important thing that must be remembered is they took him into, they heard these conversations over just a couple of days in November of 2008, after Barack Obama had won and was leaving, and what was the Senate seat going to be. And they arrested him in December of 2008 because they did not want him to name a senator to the United States Senate who would then be an illegitimate senator. That is what happened there. All right. We've got to take a quick timeout, and then we will have the news. I'm sorry I'm a few minutes behind here because, well, that was my fault. Didn't look.